Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are listening now or will be listening around the world over the Internet. We live in very exciting times. These are times unlike any other in history. We have been placed here by God for such a time as this. And we've been talking about the riches of the glory over the last couple times, and now we're going to be looking at, well, now, okay, if we have this riches across the board in so many different areas, how do we live in the glory? So it doesn't do you any good to have all this ability and not know how to use it, when to use it, or how to function with it. So we're going to be, in this session, talking about living in the glory, and we will be, perhaps, in some other sessions, going into other details about that. But this will just begin to give you a taste of what it's like in this particular message. So our scripture will be found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now, we'll use some other scriptures during this one in kind of extensively, and those of you who are listening to this on the Internet may want to make sure that you download the PDF of this one because of some of the detail in the scriptures. So, again, we're talking in terms of living in the glory, and our scripture is Philippians 3, 1 through 11. Paul is writing to the Philippians here, and he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as a legalistic righteousness. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so, somehow, to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Living in the glory. Paul's trying to talk to the people here at the Philippians a little bit about this, and he's giving some background, and he's talking about himself and his own situation and why being in the glory through Christ is so far superior to being a keeper of the law. Because he wants to point out, of course, that Jesus fulfilled the law. But, you know, there are some aspects of being a believer in Jesus the Christ which may seem quite foreign to those who have been in Christ for many years or raised in Christian homes, depending on dogma. Living in the glory is to live in Christ's glory, not our own. Now, when I talk in terms of Christian homes and depending on dogma there, the word dogma means teachings. And living in the glory is to live in Christ's glory. Let me repeat that. It is to live in Christ's glory, not our own. You see, if we were living in our own glory, it would be our keeping of the law, our being working on our own perfection, but it would not involve Christ and our salvation through Him. So it's very important that we live in Christ's glory and not our own. Christ's glory is bestowed on all who are in Him and thus in His kingdom. Living in the glory is to live in the kingdom of the blessing. That's what we've been talking about when we talk about the riches of the glory. It is to live in the kingdom of the blessing. Christ's kingdom is the kingdom of the blessing. It has been God's desire to bless mankind since the very beginning. Now, how do we know this? Well, we know this because we can go to the book of Genesis. And Genesis 1, 28 through 31 should pretty well settle this for you. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of this from the Amplified translation or version of the Bible, because it brings out some of the original meanings of some of the words there in the Hebrew. But in verse 28 of Genesis 1, it says, "And God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the earth." You see, these are the first sounds that mankind would have heard. The very first sounds were the sounds of God speaking blessing. Then he goes on, "And God said, See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to all the animals on the earth, and to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the ground, to everything in which there is breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so." Now, if you had all of this, look at verse 31 there in Genesis 1. "And God saw everything that He had made and beheld, and it was very good, suitable, pleasant, and He approved it completely. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day." So God, at this point then, had completed all of this, and He gave mankind the whole planet. Now let me ask you a question. If you owned the whole planet, would you be rich? If every bit of land on this planet was yours, would you be rich? If all the produce of this planet was yours, would you be rich? Think about that. Because that is what God did. He gave it all. God gave mankind complete dominion over the whole planet. Now, let me explain something to you here. Dominion has an interesting connotation. Because dominion not only means that you're in charge of it, but it also gives responsibility for it to you as well. If you own a home, or if you own a car, or whatever it is that you have dominion over, you also have a responsibility to take care of it, maintain it, or whatever. This was mankind's. But he told them clearly, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. That's what God told them in Genesis. This should demonstrate God's desire to have fellowship with mankind, and that mankind would not live in poverty in the here and now. Because God gave that to them, but He made provision for them in the giving of it. Very important. Provision in the giving of it. So it was God's desire to have fellowship with mankind as well, and that mankind would not live in poverty. Think of it. Mankind was given all the produce of the earth, all the wealth. This was not limited only to the planet, but to an open door to the Godhead. In other words, a part of the glory and a part of living in the glory was not just the wealth of the planet, but it was an open door to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that is living in the glory. That is a definite example of living in the glory. So God bestowed all of this on mankind. The fact that God bestowed on all on mankind. All the creation certainly demonstrates his will. How can we have people say, well, you're holier if you have less, when God's whole desire was to give mankind everything that he had created here, to enjoy, to subdue, and to have dominion over it? Then, as we know, though, Satan came along and had an encounter with Eve, and in that encounter he deceived her into questioning God. Now think about this for a minute, because you might say, well, how stupid a thing for Eve to do. Have you ever just thought like you'd just like to slap her sometime? You know, look what happened because of what Eve did and what Adam did, and you go, I'd just like to just walk up and just, you know, let her know what I think. Before you do that, let me ask you a question. Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever found yourself in the position of saying, well, did God really mean this? Will God really do what he said he would do? If you have, you have been deceived in the same way that Eve was. We don't often think of that, but that's the fact. So once deceived and involved in questioning God, oh yes, she ate the fruit, but she ate the fruit because she was questioning God. And she thought, well, this will be okay, even though God said it wasn't. She then had Adam participate in the folly, and Satan took the bestowment from them. In other words, what had been given to them was stolen by Satan. Because he comes only for one reason, that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his sole purpose in coming. And there it is. You can see it right there. After that, then, comes the curse. It was at this point God removes mankind from the kingdom of the blessing. Mankind then must toil for most of the sustenance to maintain life. It is important to notice Genesis 3:19 because toil is a part of the curse. Listen to these words from Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now that's from the Amplified Version there. Let me back up to verse 17. And to Adam he said, because you have listened and given heed to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, the ground is under a curse because of you. In sorrow and toil shall you eat of the fruits of all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Now I'm going to do verse 19 again for you here. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Remember what I said. Toil is a part of the curse. Not for those, however, in the kingdom of the blessing. The curse is the reason Jesus needed to come to restore mankind to the original state enjoyed at the beginning with God. You see, in the beginning with God, God was the provider before the fall of mankind. And God is an excellent provider today because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that many of you, many people that I know, have accepted Christ, but they still think when it comes to their provision that they're under the curse because they're still living with their mind in the mammon part and not in the blessing. The Scripture clearly tells us we have been redeemed from the curse and that we are now in the kingdom of the blessing. But people miss this. That's why whatever you do to earn an income is actually your seed. God is giving seed to you as a sower, And when you plant that seed, it gives him a chance to show and demonstrate, not just to you, but to the non-believer, that it is not by the sweat of our brow that we earn our sustenance and our living, but in the planting of our seed, because that is the way the kingdom works. And through that, then, you are blessed, and people say, well, how did this happen? How did that? Then you have a testimony, because you're living in the glory. You're living in the glory of God. God is your provider. So many times I hear believers talk as though their employer is their provider. That is just the avenue. The employer is not the provider. How many times do you know people have changed their employment over the course of their life? So any one employer was not their provider. It may have been an avenue or a venue through which they earned something, but the reason we earn the something is to demonstrate God's ability to grow the seeds we plant in His kingdom. Before, I talked in terms of we lay up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt. Then we draw on that account. God draws on that account. God brings to us the blessing that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I'm not just talking here about money. I'm talking about in health. I'm talking about in family relationships. I'm talking about in interpersonal relationships. I'm saying when you're in the blessing, you're in the glory. And when you're in the glory, you can live in the glory. The unfortunate thing is we have people who are like a ping pong ball going back and across the net on a ping pong table. They spend part of their time in the mammon system and part of their time in the blessing system, and they cannot understand why they're not making any progress. The scripture tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Then there's a stability issue that comes into play here. You see, we must remain stable in the living in the glory, in His kingdom. And then the accumulation of being in the blessing demonstrates not only to you, but demonstrates to other believers and encourages them, but it also demonstrates to those who are not in the kingdom that the kingdom is the place to be. And remember, when God gives it to you, He adds no sorrow to it. You see, there is such a thing as kingdom care. You see, every person in the kingdom of the blessing, God's kingdom, has the benefits of the kingdom, which is why we are to cast our care on Christ. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about casting your care. Most people have no concept about casting their care. So, look at this verse from 1 Peter 5:7. Now, I've done a word study on this, and what you're going to be hearing is my word study from 1 Peter 5:7. The word casting there, and this is why I say you may want to print out the PDF so you can see these things as you maybe re-listen to this message. So, casting, the word from Greek is epiripeto, throw upon. I want you to get an idea of your pitching like a baseball. You throw your care upon Him. That's what casting your care is. All of your care, and it's the idea of distractions. Think about this for a second. I want you to think about what your care is. When you really think about it, your care is a distraction from your focus on Christ. Because I am going to say to you that when you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills, how you're going to take care of yourself, how you're going to do it, you have missed the whole point. Because what you're saying is, you're the one, the most powerful one. You're the one in whom you trust, not in Christ. You have been distracted from Christ. So that's what that word there means when it says about casting all your care. It's really saying casting all of your distractions that keep you from focusing on Christ. On Him, for He cares, the word says there, He cares for you. Now, the word cares there means he is interested, it matters, he takes your care. In other words, he takes care of you. It doesn't mean he likes you. He does like you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he came for you and he redeemed you. But that's not what the word there, care, means. We tend to think in modern times that the word care means that. I can remember years ago I had a friend in an older generation, and he didn't refer to businesses as businesses. He would say, that man there has a concern over in the other town. It was a concern, you see, because he was concerned with it. Well, Jesus has a concern, and you're it. If you're in the kingdom, you are Jesus' concern, and he cares for you. He takes your concerns upon him. And so what that scripture is saying in what Paul used there, or Peter used there when he was writing that, was when he said casting all your care, he meant throw all of your distractions onto Jesus. When you throw all your distractions onto Jesus, you can't help but be focused on Jesus. And focusing on Jesus the Christ is so very important if you're going to maintain living in the glory and not bouncing back and forth between looking at the mammon system and trying to function there, and then when things don't work, come running back to Jesus saying, help me, help me, help me, I couldn't do it. Just admit you can't do it at the beginning. Follow the recipe that he's given us. Get into the Word. Do what the Word says. And enjoy living in the glory with all the blessings of the kingdom of the blessing. You see, Christ took and takes the cares of the world system, the mammon system, which are of the curse. Remember, the mammon system is of the curse. Jesus removed the curse. So, Christ took and takes the care of the world system, the mammon system, which are of the curse from us, as long as we throw them to him. But we have to throw them to him. We need to give them to him. He actually sent us a book that tells us how to do that. And many times people will keep that book, lay it aside someplace, gather in dust. And what are they doing? They're going then to the throne saying, please help me, help me, help me, help me. And he's saying, I want to help you. I want to do it. You're in my kingdom. You're living in the glory. That's what he is trying to say to us. That's what he is getting across to us. So you see, we are then, when we throw it all to him, we are then set free indeed. Remember the scripture that says, whom Christ has set free is free indeed? Would that not mean free from the curse? Wouldn't that not mean that you didn't have to worry? Not that you, I'm not talking about here about being lazy and just sitting around. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you get out there and you plant in the kingdom, it's not planting in mammon. You're in the kingdom of the glory. He has already told you, you're going to get 30, 70, 100-fold return in what you do. Now, whether that is for money, whether you are out there getting the gospel to people and you're getting 30, 70, and 100-fold return on the people who have come to Christ through the message that you're taking to them. Now, remember, you've succeeded when you take the message. You have not succeeded when they pray the prayer accepting Christ. You have succeeded when you've delivered the message. That's all you're commissioned to do, is to deliver the message. That's what we do living in the kingdom of the blessing. That's what living in the glory is all about. Because when you deliver the message, that activates in the kingdom the power. That God comes through, and the greatest miracle is that somebody becomes a new creature. Behold, all things become new in them. But that is when God will show and demonstrate his care for you as well. Because whom Christ has set free is free indeed. Free from what? Free from the curse. Very important. You see, to enjoy and function in Christ's kingdom with His support is what we're supposed to do. With His support, His authority, and His power, His wonder-working power. It shows up because God's word does not return void. If He said these signs shall follow those that believe, if you are demonstrating that you believe, if you're not bouncing back between the kingdom of the system of mammon and the kingdom of the blessing, if you're not bouncing back and forth, but you're staying right there in the kingdom of the blessing, living in the glory, that's when you're going to see through you and others who are doing the same that wonder-working, dunamis power, miraculous power coming from God. Many people say, well, I never see anything miraculous. Of course they don't. You're not going to see the miraculous when you're following the mammon kingdom, when you're following the mammon way, that is Satan's way. If you want to see God work, you've got to be functioning in God's kingdom with the gifts and the blessings that God has given you. You must stay in the blessing. This is then the hope of God's call on us, the hope we have to live in Christ's kingdom is to live in the glory. My friends, once in the kingdom, stay in the kingdom. Stay in the blessing. Live in the glory. Recognize that you're living in the glory. Live in it. Trust Him. Understand that the curse has been removed from you, and that means the curse that mammon brings with it. When He brings you financial means, health, whatever, He adds no sorrow to it. He'll use the money, but it won't be mammon money. It'll be kingdom of the blessing money. He'll give you health, but it won't be mammon health. It'll be kingdom health. Very different. Stay in the blessings, my friend. If you say, I'd like to live in that kingdom. I'd like to live in the glory. I want to be in the kingdom of the blessing. Then, my friend, if you've never prayed and asked to be allowed in, if you've never prayed and said, I want in, I want Jesus to come in and live in me and to change my heart and to make a whole new creature out of me and let all things become new. If you've never approached the throne and asked for that, there's no better time than now. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to Your throne boldly because Your word says I can come boldly, and I do come boldly. And I say, I am so sorry that I have remained away from You. I come to You now, and I ask for Jesus to come into my heart and take control of my life. I want to be in the kingdom. I want to be restored back the way it was before the curse ever came into being. I want to be a part of that through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're in. Welcome to the family. You are in, and you can now find yourself living in the glory, in the kingdom of the blessing. If you've maybe grown a little bit cold over the years, and or months or days or whatever it's been, and you thought, well, maybe that really wasn't real, or you've been one of those people who are bouncing back and forth between the kingdom of the blessing and the kingdom of the curse of mammon, then just go to the throne, say the same thing, be restored, let God envelop you and show you His glory and the blessings of the kingdom. I hope you'll do that, and I hope if you would like to talk to someone about it or you'd like some help with that, that you'll contact me, the Sojourner, at SojournersHub.org. Send me an email. That's the Sojourner at SojournersHub.org. And also, you can reach me on Skype at the Sojourner 3734. That's the Sojourner 3734 on Skype. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to be of help to you. We'd love to send you materials, talk with you, be of any kind of help that we could be to you. So please feel free to do that. Well, that brings our time together to a close today. We'll be back, and I hope you'll come back. So with this blessing, we will close out this time together. The blessing of our Lord Jesus the Christ on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.